It's the Live It Well podcast. I'm your host, Richard Dedor. Thank you so much for joining this week. It is a week with a wonderful, exciting guest. I've been waiting for the perfect opportunity to invite Sam to the Live It Well podcast, and the timing was right, and we made it happen. So this week, I'm excited and pleased to welcome my dear friend, Sam Taggart, to the podcast. Sam, I've known since before I moved to New York City in 2011. This is not a joke. We talk about it on the show. I'm gonna spoil it for you here. We met on Twitter, and I got my first job because of him in New York City, and we've been connected ever since. And he is now currently on a journey that has taken him basically around the world. He is a nomad, I would say. I think that's safe to say. And he's currently working and living in Egypt, but he's been almost everywhere, and we talk about that too. And I just wanted him to share his story, because he grew up in Philly, worked in New York City, worked in San Francisco, and decided that he wanted a different experience that was more authentic to him and what he wanted out of his life. And we talk a lot about his life philosophy that brought him to this place, to this time. And one of the things that he said really, really stood out to me. And he said that I operate from my heart. And in today's world and the society that we're in, I found that so refreshing. And I knew that about him. But for him to come out and say that, I hope you take that to heart as you listen to our conversation that we had. He zoomed in from Egypt. It was morning where I was and evening where he was. And I think above all else, what you're going to get out of Sam is that, as he says, he's unapologetically himself. And there's so much authenticity in that. There's so much power in that, both to live your life your way, but also to show others that it's okay to live authentically yourself. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Sam. I cannot wait for our paths to cross again one day. It'll either be a coffee or an adult beverage that we'll have together. And as we said after we got done taping, even though there's years and miles between our visits, we pick up right where we left off. So enjoy this conversation between me and Sam up next. So I'm so excited, Sam, that you took the time today to join the Live It Well podcast. You are joining us from around the globe, out over in Egypt. So I'm just going to give you a second to tell the listeners about yourself, so we don't spend 20 minutes going through the 411 on who Sam is.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Richard. Obviously, it's great to see you. We'll get into our history together, I'm sure. But my name is Sam Taggart. I'm originally from Philadelphia in the U.S. I'm currently in Egypt, and we'll probably get into that explanation as well. The last 3 years, I've been kind of traveling around the world. I've been fortunate enough to find ways to sustain myself in that living. There's we can go a lot deeper, but there's a lot of chapters in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We are talking today via Zoom, which is awesome. And I have a question, a loaded question. Do you remember how we actually met years and years ago?
Was it over Twitter?
It was Twitter.
Was it over Twitter? Yeah, I thought so.
I was prepping to move to New York and randomly stumbled across this guy, Sam, who was tweeting cool shit, I thought. And we just started talking. And come to find out you're working for this, at that point, the company that you were working for had only been around for months, probably, at that point.
I think so. I think we started talking in 2010. So yeah, it was only a number of months.
And then I moved out to New York in the winter of 2011. And you guys happened to be hiring somebody, and somehow I landed the job. I snuck through the back door.
Yeah. What a time. I mean, even seeing your face honestly is a blast from the past, bringing me back so many memories.
Yeah. It was basically a startup that we were working at, and I was employee number 16. I always like to remember that, how young we were. And by the time I left, they were 150, but and we were talking before we got started kind of about the serendipity of life and like the fact that Twitter connected us and 10 years later we're still connected and we worked together for a while. Like, I just love that we have that story that we get to share.
Yeah, I do too. And it's one of the, I mean, obviously the whole social media conversation these days is kind of a touchy one, but I think one of the best, you know, kind of aspects of social media is just the ability to connect people. And we wouldn't have kind of these stories or many others without it, you know?
Yeah, like that's, I mean, you and I, we had coffees a lot while we were in New York, and I'll never forget when I'd left the company and you were still there, and I was letting you know that we were going to be moving away from New York. And you had, at that point, you actually said that you were looking to take off for San Francisco, if I remember right. Talk to me about like what made you want to go to leave New York and go to San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of had this itch to I won't even say to travel, it's more so to go, you know, and to just move on and kind of change experiences. And it's just been a theme of my life, especially since I graduated high school and left for university. And so at the time, you know, our company was kind of in its middle stage, and we were opening a new office in San Francisco. And I just felt there was this tremendous opportunity to get involved in just like a new kind of environment and also experience a new city. And to me, that was just so exciting, both elements of that. So there's this new challenge, I guess, professionally, and also this new total life experience, which has always, I guess, just been somewhere inside of my chest, you know?
Yeah, because you grew up in Philly, then went to school in Boston, if I'm correct. And then New York and San Francisco, and then you're in San Francisco and you decide that you want to come back to New York. And if I get this wrong, please correct me, but you want to come back to New York. And then what happens that kind of finally clicks for you that says, I want to go?
Yeah, I mean, so actually when I came back to New York, I spent a year and a half in San Francisco, and I just felt, okay, maybe this wasn't totally right. I mean, so many aspects of California were so good to me, but I just felt this, again, something kind of inside of me. One thing that's kind of important about myself to explain is that I kind of operate more from my heart than my logic, you know? So if I'm feeling something inside, I kind of just act on it, or at least I heavily consider it. So I moved back to New York, and then actually, maybe like a few months later, the London office opened, and I had a chance to go to London for a couple of months. And then my mom invited me to this trip to Morocco. And so I kind of had these two experiences directly after coming back to New York that put me away from New York pretty suddenly. And for me, that was kind of, it raised something inside of me, you know? It made me feel like, okay, I don't need to be in New York. I don't need to be in a city even. And I started to also think, around my 30th birthday, I thought, I don't want to wake up in 3 years and feel how I feel now. And I knew I had to make a change. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it came from.
So you took off. Like I said, I wasn't in New York when you did take off. But I'll never forget the office had a kind of a going away party, I guess you could say. and the whole message was, go, Sam. Like, they were encouraging you to go chase to what you just said, like chase your heart. Like, were you nervous? Were you scared? Like, what were you feeling like when you kind of just said, I'm out, like, I'm going to go do my thing?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people thought I was crazy, including my family, you know. I was, you know, one of the first couple of employees at our company, and I'd spent 8 years there. And obviously through that time developed things like, you know, stability and kind
those
of
things. Yeah.
And I was kind of heading in a trajectory with my career and things like that. But so to the outside, it kind of probably seemed a little bit ridiculous. But to me, I just felt like I knew it. I knew I had to. It wasn't, you know, I was maybe a little bit scared. But in the end, I knew I had no choice, because it was just this feeling that I think we all get. And sometimes we're paying more attention to it or less attention to it. But, you know, usually when you go to make a decision, you have some thoughts swirling in your head. And when you think about two or three different options, you can feel something inside of you that, you know, is very clear. And so for me, that clarity inside made me excited more than anything else, you know?
So did you go with the intention of, I'm just going and then we're just gonna see what happens? Did you have like a time limit on when you were gonna come back? Like, what was kind of your approach to taking this leap of faith on yourself, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I'd known for some months that I was gonna leave. So I started to save up some money to make sure I had enough time when I, once I quit, to give me a chance to really, you know, have time, right? Because I didn't want to make any sudden decisions or any drastic decisions, although I guess you could say what the decision I made was pretty drastic. but I intended to go to, I went to Thailand first, and I spent a month there, and I actually came back to New York thinking, I wasn't so sure again what I was going to do. And so I was thinking, all right, maybe get another job in a different sector, a different kind of situation, maybe a smaller startup again, because I was kind of missing that kind of vibe. But in the end, I felt again this like itch, like, okay, this wasn't enough, you know, and I need to go back and I need to go see what else is out there, because my journey at that time was just beginning, and I could feel that again, you know.
So you say your journey is just beginning. You're now in Egypt. Is your kind of plan just to keep doing this thing for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I'm actually a resident of Turkey.
Okay, didn't know that.
Yeah. So I actually do. Yeah, I have residency in Turkey. I live in a beautiful town in the south of Turkey. But I'm taking opportunities where I can these days, while it's, you know, trying to be as safe as possible and do what I can. Still traveling a bit, but yeah, I don't really have any. I mean, I miss my family and my friends dearly. But it's the only thing I really miss about being home. You know, like, we're born into where, you know, where we're born, where we are, where we're born, right? But nothing says we have to stay there. Right. And for me, if nothing else the last 3 years have taught me, it's that the world is so big and there's so many experiences and perspectives out there, and I just want to keep seeing them. So yeah, sorry to my parents, you know, and my family and all of that, guys. I don't think it's going to be a short-term thing.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think, I'm sure they understand, and like, they're supportive of you on this journey. Are you and your brother still doing your podcast?
Yeah, we started this. Yeah, we started a podcast, but it's kind of fallen off, as podcasts tend to do, you know.
That's fine. Like, I mean, I listen to some episodes because I enjoy getting your thoughts. And so I'm gonna give you a loaded question a little bit.
Sure, please.
Because you guys talked a lot about music in the show and different songs that you're hearing or listening to. If you had to pick like one song, one artist that you go to give you uplift or to get you motivated, like, where do you go with your music?
Yeah, that is a loaded question, especially for me, because I tend to use, I'm a big Spotify fan. I just put on Discover Weekly basically every week that it comes out, and I think it's amazing.
Like, amazing, it's, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, nonstop, and I'm liking every single song that's basically on the list, and so my musical taste is kind of all over. I mean, traditionally, when I get asked this question, or about music in general, I just say that it's kind of like this eclectic mix. But I mean, some of my favorites, Radiohead actually is like probably my like number one kind of gen, because they have kind of like, they're just so weird, you know, and like, any mood you're in, you can kind of find a song that's gonna make you feel that way or that relates to that. So I guess I would go with Radiohead. But honestly, like I said, I mean, I just hit Spotify and then I just kind of go down the list. And so my liked songs are kind of like anything from 80s, 90s hip hop to like kind of like indie folk to global to whatever. And it's, I don't know. I just prefer it that way. I don't get hooked onto like kind of individual song artists.
Yeah, that's fair. But I'll agree that Discover feature is amazing. And it's helped me kind of discover new music, which is, it's hard for me because I don't have a lot of time to like sit and like find new artists and stuff. So that feature is like super helpful to doing that, I guess.
Highly recommend it.
Where all have you been? Like, you've mentioned Cambodia, you're a resident of Turkey, you're in Egypt now, Thailand. Like, Let's spot off a couple places real quick, because I have another question that'll follow up to that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, in the past 2 years, I've been to like, or past 3.5 years, I've been to like 20 something countries. So, I mean, it was started in Southeast Asia with Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, went to Sri Lanka. Then I kind of bounced back to Europe area. So I spent some time in Spain, the Netherlands. Last year I was in Dubai a bit. I've been to Egypt, obviously. I've been previously, before I started this kind of trip, I spent some time in South America. So I've hit I guess 5 of the 7 continents so far.
Yeah. I didn't know you'd been to Sri Lanka. My best friend and his family are from there. So that's awesome to hear that.
Beautiful place.
Yeah. It's, I can't wait to go myself. I haven't been able to go, but
yeah.
Here's the question to all of that. What would you say to the American listeners on the show? What is the biggest misconception that we here in the States have of all those places in general that you've been to?
Oh man, that's a big one. But I think like the biggest thing, and I hope, you know, in the States, I was living very much in these bubbles, right? New York, San Francisco, very diverse kinds of places. But like, to me, what I've really seen is that across the world, everybody, you know, different religions, different skin colors, different belief systems, different ways of living, like all just have the very basic kind of simple human desires. And nobody's really giving any attention to, like, the average person in these places is not giving any attention to, you know, what's going on in other places, what's going on in America, for example. You know, like, Americans tend to think that we're kind of like the central kind of, you know, the most important country in the world and all of these things. But these people are just living their lives, have the same desires that we have, and in varying degrees of success based on the countries that they're living in and the oppression or the kind of the government or the, you know, the way their economies, things like this. So I don't know. It's just like our similarities. You know, I think one of the things is that our differences are not so extreme, you know, at least not as much as the media or kind of the news would make it out to be.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly agree with that. Just in, you know, to social media's point, like, we can talk to anybody we want around the world, and the more we get to know each other and just listen, the more we realize we're all just trying to live the best life we can, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And yeah, and I mean, I think everyone's struggling. You know, in America, we're very obviously focused on, you know, what's going on in this country or in that country. But again, it's like kind of this like centralized view of America kind of being the center of the world, and just the realization that America is just one country in many. You know, we both grew up in the States, and, you know, you go to school and you do the Pledge of Allegiance and you kind of like all these kinds of things, and you learn American history, and it's, you know, kind of whitewashed, you know, not kind of, it's very whitewashed.
Yeah.
And I mean, the world is big, you know. And I think people should remember that and maybe get out and see it.
That's one of the things that my husband and I have talked a lot about once COVID is over, and once our daughter reaches an age where she'll remember things. Like, we don't want to take her to Germany when she's 2, because that's a waste of everyone's energy. But like, when she's able to remember it, like, yes, we'll do Disneyland, because you have to do that with a little kid. But like, we want to take her to see as much of the world as we can while she's still, you know, under 18 and a kid and stuff. Cause like, we want her to see that, yes, you have an amazing life where you're at, but there's about a million other things outside of this little bubble that we have. And we want you to see that and experience that. And that's super important to us. So I'm just glad that you're living it. And I hope that she lives it that same way.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we didn't travel so much when I was a kid. And I do see a lot of, especially like my friends who are having kids now and things like that. And obviously we live in the times we live in, so things are a little bit tougher. But yeah, this, I do think, you know, even when I was traveling, I've seen families that travel together, and it kind of definitely changed my way of thinking. Like, I always kind of thought having a kid would really prevent you from doing some of these things. But I mean, that's the other thing, is that the world is changing, and there's many unconventional ways of living these days. And I think that, you know, it's big credit to you and Steve for wanting to provide that experience for your daughter, because I think traveling as a child really will change perspective, you know?
Yes. And that's what, like, we traveled growing up, just traveled the States and saw some of the stuff here in the States. Like, we never had the means to go to London or Paris, or like, we just couldn't do it, which is fine. So like, we've made the conscious choice to, like, we're going to have the ability and we're going to save the money and we're going to make the right choices to make sure we can do that, because we wanted her to have that like wide world view and like taste all the food and see the people and like just experience everything that's out there.
Totally. I mean, the other thing though, and I've thought about this a lot the last few years because I've been away from home, and I've just thought about how big and how amazing the US is in itself, yes. You know, like we get so caught up in this idea of traveling the world, and then we kind of forget a little bit about our own backyard, which is just, you know, so diverse from a geographic kind of like climate and kind of, you know, we have mountains and beaches and desert and everything, and culture and food and everything exists kind of in the States itself. So even for people who don't have the means, you know, to travel internationally, I do think there's so many opportunities within, you know, the States.
Do you know someone who's been impacted or diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia? Now is your chance to make a measurable impact on the research and care and support of these diseases. You can do that by clicking the link in the show notes to support my bike ride around Des Moines on June 20th in honor of the longest day. The longest day is the summer solstice. The day that shines the most is the day that we're going to raise the most. And I would appreciate your support. This money goes directly into the community for the care and support groups, for the trainings that we do for volunteers for those care and support groups, to the 24-hour Alzheimer's hotline, and to find a cure for Alzheimer's and all other dementias. Again, I appreciate your support. This is our third year hosting this bike ride, and it's so important now, maybe more than ever, that we raise these funds to continue to do the great work that these Alzheimer's staff and volunteers do here in Des Moines and across the country. Again, the link is in the show notes to support my longest day bike ride, to support Alzheimer's and all other dementias. Thanks for your time.
So that'll lead me to one of the last questions. So, like, aside from your family, obviously, like, what's the one thing you miss most about the States at this point?
It's a tough question because I really don't miss.
I don't miss anything.
So much, you know. I mean, obviously, again, I was living in these bubbles, you know. So living in New York, for example, or San Francisco, you know, you can pretty much do anything, you know, get anything you want,
yeah,
any time of the day or night. Yes. Have super, you know, convenience, I guess, is something that is something I don't have really in my life as much as I did while I was in the States. But also that is in a way a blessing as well, because I've learned to kind of adapt and understand that I don't need all of those things that I thought I did, you know, while I was there. But of course, I mean, if I think about it, I do miss them, you know. It's not that I don't miss them.
But. Yeah. But you're not like, I need to go back home so I can order sushi at 2 a.m. and have it delivered. And
no, not so much. You know, I just came from Dubai. I had that opportunity too. So I can find those things if I want, but, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I miss a cheesesteak from Philly, you know. I'm from Philadelphia, so there's certain things I miss about that. I miss watching sports at a normal time. You know, I'm a big sports fan, especially American sports, and I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch a game, and the Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday, and I have to watch it at 1:30 in the morning on Monday. So, like, some of those, like, small things, but
yeah,
I've adapted, you know, to all of this.
The sacrifices you make to live the way that you want to live, right?
Exactly. You know, I mean, that's a great point, you know, but, yeah, I don't have to be such a nut and waking up at all hours of the night to do these kinds of things, or
you could just fall in love with European sports and not deal with it.
I've tried, you know, and I've definitely, my sports fandom has definitely dropped over the, like, you know, I don't really like miss it as much as I did, or it wasn't like, you know, before my emotions would even ride on the success of my teams or things like this, you know, and so I've detached myself in a way from all of these things because, and I think it's healthier, you know, maybe it's not quite as good, but yeah.
So my last question, what is one way that you remain focused on living your life well?
So I spent a lot of time the last year thinking about this idea, actually, because obviously the world has gone the way it's gone, and we've all had a lot of time to think, you know. But one of the things that it's always been important to me is purpose. I think we all have that feeling inside of us, you know, for what is our purpose here in this life. And for a long time, I kind of associated purpose with profession, which I think is unhealthy as well. But for me, what I'm trying to do these days to live my life well is to just be like kind of unconditionally myself in every situation. And that brings me joy, you know, because there's nobody else in this world, for better or for worse, like me or like you or like anybody that's watching or listening to this right now. And so we kind of all have this responsibility in a way to be ourselves, right? And if you find yourself making decisions or acting a way that isn't yourself, I think you're not going to find happiness because it's against what you're here to do. You know, it's against your purpose or your values or whatever, this or that. So in small decisions like and big ones alike, I try to just hold that true and not to be so hard on myself about how things turn out you know, if I'm feeling down, like not feeling so bad about that. Like the other, you know, the second point I guess is just being kind to myself because, you know, we're all human, right? And so I think we can have it's very common for people to kind of be, to be difficult on themselves, to critique or to think too much in the past or the future. And so like being yourself and then being kind to yourself, knowing that you're being yourself, you know, and things might seem wrong or right in the moment, but we also can't predict the future either. So if you make decisions again, like feeling that, we started with this actually, that, you know, how I was making my decisions and I said it was inside of my heart. You know, I think we all know who we are and we might not like certain things about ourselves and we might want to change them, but that's okay. You know, we can do that as well. We can grow and evolve, but I think staying true to that essence inside of you is a big key to stay healthy and happy and just in the moment too, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely, man. If people want to follow your journey, where should they do that?
My journey is, my physical journey or what's going on inside my brain.
You don't want to go in your brain. That's a scary place,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Then I would recommend Instagram. It's just GhostSam, GhostSam, appropriately titled, I guess.
That's right.
I'm happy to talk more with anybody who might be interested about some of the things that I've been talking about I love to share. I love to listen also. So I'm all ears.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, brother. So good to catch up.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Live It Well podcast. That is my life motto, live it well, and I hope that by you listening to this podcast, you are being inspired to live your life as best as you can. If you loved it, please go to where you're listening, Apple, Google, Spotify, leave us a rating. Obviously, 5 stars is the best, but the ratings really help people find stories like this, and so I really appreciate that. If you want to go follow me online, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, at Richard Dedor, or this podcast has an Instagram account, Live It Well Podcast. And if you want to find me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/richard.m.dedor. The links are in the show notes. Again, thank you so much for listening to this show. If you need a speaker for your virtual or in-person event, please go to my website at richarddedor.com and check out the different speeches and keynotes and workshops that I have ready to go to inspire your team, inspire your teammates, inspire your staff. I'm ready to go, and I know you are too. So again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Live It Well podcast, and I leave you with my message. I hope you live it well.